Those are some good moves you have there, Shay. Welcome to Homemaker Chic. We are rescuing the art of homemaking from the quarantined daily grind.
Grind it is.
In our red lips, there are absolutely no denim jumpers. Today on the show, I am your host, Angela Reed of Parisian Farm Girl. And I am joined by the fellow chic Shay Elliott of the Elliott Homestead. And we are so happy you're here, ladies and Frank.
Yes.
It is Freestyle Blurs Day. Before all this went down, we were calling it Freestyle Thursday because while we like to pick a topic and bring it to you in particular, we also like to come to you a little bit off the cuff, just right where we are. So when we do this, we typically hold back on our personal conversations. So we have some fresh fodder to bring you. Mm-hmm. But now, because we're kind of all in this quagmire, we're calling it Freestyle Blurs Day, and I'm loving it. I think it's a riot. Today's episode is brought to you by Jovial Foods. Jovial Foods is an amazing company run by husband and wife team Carla and Rodolfo. And years ago, after they discovered that their daughter had a gluten sensitivity, they struck out to find grains that her body could easily digest and thrive off of. And that led to them learning about einkorn. Einkorn is an ancient variety of wheat, the oldest that we know. And our bodies flourish when we eat it because of its high protein, extremely weak gluten. And now Jovial Foods is a top supplier of einkorn flours, einkorn pastas, Italian olive oils, delicious snacks, top rated gluten-free pasta line, which I know is important to so many people. And we think you are going to love einkorn as much as we do. You can visit them at jovialfoods.com. And we promise that this is going to change your baking life. I'm assuming you have a lot of time to bake right now. So yes. Now's the time to try some einkorn.
So buttery and so good. We love them. And today's episode is also brought to you by American Blossom Linens. This is a fabulous American company. Texas grown cotton, beautiful, old fashioned, dare I say, sexy sheets, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. They're good. Go check them out, AmericanBlossomLinens.com, and make sure that you use coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 for 20% off of your sheets. They are fabulous, organic, dye free, all the nasties free.
All the nasty is free. It's Freestyle Blurs Day. We're freestyling on our ads. These sheets are modern vintage. You're going to love them. AmericanBlossomLinens.com. And of course, use your coupon code for 20% off.
You are also going to love Monday's episode, which is all about failures. That was a podcast.
So be sure to listen to that. Shay, I want to do our love comment for the week because this is like super right up my alley.
I thought you would love this one.
Yeah. This is from the Woodside Stories.
I'm sorry. Can you hear my children upstairs? It's like a herd of elephants.
Can you hear mine?
No. Can you?
Okay. I can't hear yours.
Hey, children, go out of the living room, please.
Please forgive me.
I mean, I literally have a bedroom above me in the attic and a kitchen below me. And it's just all wood floors. There's not much separating
our listeners
from my children.
All right. Okay.
Back this to the comment. Love comment is from the Woodside Stories. And she says, today I am cooking supper in full makeup with a 1920s flapper costume under my pinny as we are starting a murder mystery directly after eating. I feel I may be taking things a little too far. How much is too much?
It's not too much, the Woodside Stories.
You had me at 1920s flapper costume.
Yep.
Because I have this thing, Shay, I don't know if I've ever told you. I love Thelma Kelly from Chicago. And I have seen Thelma Kelly for Halloween at costume parties. And that is like a dream of mine to play Thelma Kelly in a local stage production of Chicago. I want to so badly.
You need to do that. You need to see George Strait sometime before he quits touring completely.
Yep.
You have a lot
to do. Oh, Monty Don is going to visit my garden. He is. My kids are like, really, Mom? I said, I met the princess. Like, I've done it.
I can do anything.
Anything now is totally doable because I've met Princess Diana. Like, do you know how easy that makes everything else that you want to come true?
Yeah.
Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
So surely I can. I have the wig. I have the blunt black flapper wig.
Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Yes.
It gets a lot of use. It's Cleopatra. It's Velma Kelly. It's Liz Taylor. It gets a lot of use. We play dress up in this house. Well, I know people know that. Mm-hmm. Some people, because it's on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I love this idea of getting dressed up to make supper to watch a murder mystery.
That's brilliant.
It is brilliant. I mean, I love it.
That's when you're like getting in the vibe. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because I shared this. Okay. I'm like the dress up person. I'm kind of weird. I used to be a Patsy Cline impersonator.
And I did not know this.
Oh yeah, girl. I'm a mean Patsy Cline. Yeah. Like
for what?
Like, I used to do like, it wasn't like a show. Like I would sing at bars and stuff like that.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. State fairs, bars,
you are
restaurants. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are a multi-layered woman, like, Angela.
Of course, I have the vintage dress. I have the curly wig. I had like the WSM radio.
I want you to sing something.
No, not right now.
Yeah.
No.
Come on.
It's like 9 a.m.
I don't care.
I'm not singing something. I'll save that for a live stream.
Fine. Okay, you got all the costume for Patsy. Yeah,
but the first time I fell in love with her in my 20s. And, you know, when you find like a singer that you can, their voice is like in your sweet spot, makes it really fun to sing. Well, that's what happened with Patsy. And so I wanted to kind of just try something. I had never done any acting or anything like that. And I went and auditioned for one of those Patsy shows. There's like Sweet Dreams, and there's another one. I don't remember what they're called, but I went to this riverboat because it was like a dinner theater riverboat, and went to audition, and everybody else was just like in jeans and a shirt. And guess what I did to audition? Full Patsy outfit.
Of course.
Of course. Like, I had to be her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Duh.
It was awesome.
Well, so, I actually love that's the story you shared right now, because I want to talk. I know it's Blur's Day. But I really want to talk about that. I want to talk about that. That exact
costumes?
Yeah, that exact thing of how you had to transform into the person you were trying to be.
Yeah.
In order to do a good job at it, to do your best job at it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it again.
Isn't that what we're doing? Can't you just see me as Velma Kelly, though? Come on.
I've never seen Chicago. Don't look at me like that. I know if Aiden was, Aiden would be like, you uncultured swine. That's what he would say to me.
You've never seen the show or the movie?
No.
Like the
9.
What?
Listen, I don't need your judgment.
Guess what you're doing tonight? You're watching it. It's so good. I love it.
Is that the one with Catherine?
Yeah, Renee Zellweger and Catherine Zeta-Jones and Queen Latifah.
Okay.
And
I feel like I've seen Patrick, maybe the first like 5 minutes of that.
Riley.
And I didn't really like it. Is that a good version of it? Is there a better one I should watch?
You might not have liked it. It's definitely to taste.
Okay.
So it's kind of trashy and there's lots of lingerie and dancing and
I can see why you would like that.
Yeah, can't you? I am Karen and my trash is showing.
That is right. Okay. What day of quarantine are we on?
I don't know.
Are you guys still on quarantine there? Like full on quarantine? Okay. We are too.
I don't know. I really don't know.
I recognize the shirt that you're wearing right now, since we're going to talk a little bit about fashion and like transforming into this woman. You wore that yesterday. When I FaceTimed you yesterday, you were wearing that.
It's cold.
Okay. Look at me. Here I am in my red flannel pajamas. That's what I'm wearing right now. So I'm not that much in front of you here. Maybe
I got these ones at Costco the other day.
Oh,
they're like Donna Karen lounge pants.
Okay.
I'm feeling a little loungy today.
All right.
Now I'm feeling like I need to go get out like my flapper costume. I have one.
Of course you do. That's what I want to talk to you about. Okay.
Okay.
Because I have mentioned before that I am currently reading Drums of Autumn. And I'm at this part where Jamie's aunt is making, she's having this big dinner party and she makes Claire this impromptu gown. Like hours before the supper. And there's like silk and lace and velvet. And I'm listening to this and I'm just melting. I am like, I have to wear this gown. I have to. It's really got me thinking about what I wear. And here is the paradox that we live in. We throw down on the farm. Knees in the dirt, planting 1,000 onions. And then we come inside and we turn on our jazz and we pour our wine and we want to, you know, flush out the romance of homemaking. Mm-hmm. How do we dress to do that? Because I have some pieces that I love, but I'm about ready just to light the wardrobe on fire. I need to clean out my closets. I need to reassess what is happening here. And all I want to do is dress in green silk. What is happening? What are we doing here? Help me. Help me, my friend.
You need some green velvet portieres.
I know. That was like 8 different points all at one time, but I need your help.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is a lot of points. And there's so many different ways. There's so many different things to talk about. I mean, there is an element of the ridiculous to the dressing up and the fantasy with the way people used to dress. And I think it's just because it's so not practical. And I know there's certain personalities, maybe like ours, that are more romantic in nature. And we're always trying to grab onto whatever can help us stay in that romantic place. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think clothing can definitely do that. My problem for me is like, I love that. I would love to dress a certain way on the farm and have that help me stay in that romantic place. But I also love, you know, my jeans and my high heels and my blazers, you know? So I think it's just another clothing to me. And like, this is just like food. Like we would never say, well, I cook one specific, you know, ethnicity or culture's food. We do all sorts of different things in our kitchen to express ourselves all sorts of different ways. And I'm right there with you right now where I'm feeling all the romantic farm feels.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very nostalgic. Yeah. I'm feeling very sensitive.
Yes.
Because of what's going on.
Is
in the
that
world.
It? Is that where it's coming from?
I think so.
Like, yeah. Okay.
And very kind of like strong, you know, I'm channeling my inner Scarlett O'Hara, like I want to take care of my family and work hard and nothing's going to take me down kind of a thing. And I need the straw
wardrobe
hat and
to grow with
the wardrobe to go with it. I don't know. It's just silly, but I think it's okay.
I don't think it's silly because I think we are impacted by what we see and we are impacted by what we wear. I tell you, if I am not one of those people who could be in my pajamas all day. I'm not. It doesn't. There is no productivity happening. And I'm one of those dress for success kind of people. If I get up and I put on a nice high-waisted jean and nice tight shirt, throw some tennis shoes on, like, watch out. I'm getting it.
Tennis shoes. Gotta have the tennis shoes.
The apron. And the apron. I'm just like, we're here. We're doing this.
Right.
So we are sincerely impacted by what we wear. I think the ditch you fall into is either thinking it doesn't matter at all. And then on the other side of the road, thinking I have to have Michael Kors tennis shoes or I'm not really getting it. And there's this wide road in the middle of all these different things we can explore. And I feel like that's where we're all kind of at right now because people don't have a reason to dress up. Their reason right now is just being at home. So you're seeing a lot of people being in their pajamas, which ironically we both are right now, but it is morning time as we record this. Okay.
To our defense.
But, you know, as we were texting back and forth about these thoughts the other day, and we started sending each other images of dresses that we liked, I'm particularly drawn to like sort of like Civil War era sort of style. Mm-hmm. Edwardian kind of a thing. I love that, those styles. It drives me nuts because they call them costumes, like Civil War costumes. I'm like, it's a white blouse with a long skirt. That's what it is. Like, why make people feel stupid who want to wear that? What if they just like to wear that because it's really feminine and soft and pretty and lovely?
Have you seen the people on YouTube that they just straight up dress in whatever era they're obsessed with?
I could be that person.
If I saw this a little braver, they call her like a modern day Marie Antoinette, which I think is silly, but she just has a real fine appreciation for the fabrics and the textiles and the dyes and things, you know, kind of like you were describing from that passage of Drums of Autumn.
Right. Where you have indigo farmers and
where you have indigo farmers,
and they're talking about this, the North Carolina silk versus the Chinese silk. And I could see how that could become an obsession.
So she sews these costumes and she wears them. And she's like in New York City with her big hairdo and her big gowns getting on the subway. And
that's fabulous.
And there's, it's really cool.
Except you just called it a costume. For her, wouldn't it just be her dress?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just the way
I
dress?
I think it's a riot that somebody expresses themselves that way. Mm-hmm. But I think they probably call them costumes for search purposes.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Hey, weirdo who wants to dress like Claire in Outlander, here's a dress for you. Like that Civil War era costume kind of goes a little bit, a little bit more searchable.
Yeah.
They make me giddy, those darn costumes. And I know they're cheap. I have one. I have a big Marie Antoinette gown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
You talked about them not being practical. I could see something like a Marie Antoinette gown not being practical. But if we're talking about costumes like that, I'm doing air quotes, listeners, costumes for the farm, you know, like Tasha Tudor, she would wear big skirts basically to the ground almost, and then a big, like a liner, or what do you call that underneath it?
The petticoat.
A petticoat. Not like to make it super poofy. It was just like a linen. It was like having a lined skirt, basically.
A slip. Yeah.
I could see a long dress like that being perfectly practical for the farm work that I do. I could milk a cow in it. I could shovel a stall in it. I could garden in it. I could do almost any task I wanted to do in it. Where it becomes unpractical is the sundresses that I wear in the summertime because I'm hot. And my knees and legs are fully exposed. You can't really garden in that. It's really hard to squat down.
Yeah.
But a maxi dress holds your legs too tight. It's also really hard to garden in a maxi dress to me. So I could see a big skirt actually being a really practical clothing item on the farm. Thoughts?
Yeah. If you look in my cookbook, I'm wearing a long, like a denim colored linen skirt. I got it at a thrift store years ago. It finally just bit the dust because I wore it so much. It was like the best gardening farming skirt because it protected your legs. I felt so feminine.
Was it long? I try to remember the picture. It's like right above your shoes, kind of long.
Yep. Clear to the ground.
Okay.
Yep. The problem is the shoeing.
The shoeing.
Because you look like a dork. I mean, either you're wearing your boots, which are hot in the summer.
Right.
You look like a moron with tennis shoes on. No, I'm just saying, like, that's where the whole fantasy, the romantic notion just goes out the window for me. Because I'm like, well, what?
Yeah, you couldn't
what
wear
sort
Birkenstocks.
What sort of shoeing am I going to wear?
Or like, I wear Birkenstocks in the summer. This is the Pacific Northwest here. We wear our Birkies. You couldn't wear flip-flops. What shoe do you, a sandal? I don't like wearing sandals because gravel and stuff gets in there. And you can't get it out.
Yeah. So I end up wearing my tennis shoes because that's what makes me feel sturdy. Like I can get something done, but I look like a dork.
Okay. I feel like this is a personal
challenge. No, but I think the long skirt is very, very practical for on the farm. I am a huge proponent of pockets.
Yeah. You could wipe faces. You could lift it up to gather stuff in it. I'm kind of leaning towards it, if I'm going to be honest with you, because it was hot yesterday. I put on a sundress and I went out to work. I work on this farm. I don't just stand in front of it looking nice, ladies. I couldn't do it because you have to just crouch in such a way. And I needed to be able to get on my knees. Like I'm, you know, I'm weeding onions and carrots. You can't do that in a short dress. Your knees get all kinds of torn up with the dirt.
Right.
Unless you're going to wear knee pads with your sundress.
Again, killing the whole look.
Killing the whole vibe here. Okay. So the practicality of that makes sense. But why would we want to wear a skirt like that and not jeans?
I don't really love to garden in jeans.
Why?
Because I find them too restrictive. Like I would much rather garden in some mangy pair of yoga pants or something so I can move around easier. And I like the sturdiness of the jean when it comes to
structure,
not structure,
yeah,
not getting destroyed. But I do. It's the reason I garden in my pajamas in the morning because I can just move around and yeah.
But you could do that in a skirt.
You can do that in a skirt.
Yeah. But I know what you're saying. My niece came over. She's 17 and I'm hiring her for the summer to come and help me on the farm. And so she was out there with me and I'm exposing her to all the fun of weeding a 80-foot carrot bed. But she kept having to stand up and pull her pants up and pull pants up and pull her pants up. And I told her, this is why I wear high-waisted jeans. Because if you're crouching down to pick up your kids or bend over and pick stuff up off the floor, weed your gardens. Mm-hmm. Those low rise nonsense, burn them. Forget about it. It's miserable to have your crack hanging out all the time. It is. And then one of my kids or Stuart will come by and throw something down my pants just to let me know that my crack's hanging out. I'm like, I know it. I wore the wrong pair of jeans. Okay.
So, thank you.
More and more.
So much.
And what I love is, you know, we talked about these people sort of dressing in this costume, but let's picture a beautiful, long, flowy linen skirt. Maybe you wear the liner with it. Maybe if it's a really hot day, you don't. Maybe you just wear the long skirt. It can look old fashioned if you pair it with something like a really nice white blouse or something of the nature. You could also throw on like a white tank top and wear it just the same. And all of a sudden it becomes this really kind of like
the tank top with my apron.
Yeah. It becomes this modern but vintage throwback kind of a feel. So I think a lot of people don't wear stuff like this. I know I have steered away from it because I don't want to look. I'm already a really old soul. Like we live in this rustic cottage that makes no sense to anybody else but those of us who live here and maybe some of you listeners. You know, it's like, what are we doing here in this house? Are we living in a museum? Yes, we are. I think I don't want to be seen as irrelevant. Like, oh, you're stuck way back there. You know, you're not up to date with, you're not really living in this world, in this modern world. And so I've avoided it. But I think maybe that was a mistake because I maybe have missed the boat on how this can kind of become part of now too. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do. I just think if you enjoy it, you know, do it. if it helps you feel all the feels and there's an element of practicality to it, then go for it.
Well, I think I'm going to now.
I think you
through
should.
This conversation. I was really put off by my sundress the other day and not being able
and
to kneel.
And they're pretty easy to make. You could get
they are.
Some linen and you can make them very practical where you do a band in the front and then a band of elastic in the back.
Yeah. Elastic.
So there's, So there's no, you still get that more tailored look in the front, but then you have the flexibility of just pulling it over your hips because of the elastic in the back. Or something.
Mm-hmm. I have kind of been drawn as of late as I'm thinking about cleaning through clothes and such because Stuart was wearing this shirt the other day that he had obviously left outside, like in a pile in the garden for a long time, long enough that it became very sun bleached in like this wrinkle patterned.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Joel did that. Yeah. And you can see how it was hanging.
And he was wearing it, but he was wearing it. You know, he always has his like gentleman flat cap that he wears. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, he is not the type to go and buy clothes, but he loves well-made things. He has a very deep appreciation. And I thought, how fun would it be for me to clean through all of his clothes that he that are still like hand-me-downs from like his oldest brother's friends 20 years ago, and got him a few nice things that helped him feel good as well. Because I'm sure like that shirt, he was probably just like, OK, it's clean. I'm going to go out and work the farm. It'll fit the bill.
Right.
But with the lack of storage we have in our bedroom and some of our stuff being in the hall closet, it's just messy. There's too much of it. So then it got me thinking, and I really want your thoughts on this. So get ready to expand.
OK.
Is that Junior? Is he going to be OK?
I think he's just talking. He's just right below me.
Good morning, Junior. I want to break up. I want to work really hard at breaking up with cheap clothes. What's your first thought when I say that?
Yes. you know how I feel about this. And I feel like I talked about this once right when we first started the podcast, but I think it might have been one of those episodes where I hadn't hit record.
Oh.
One of my fails.
Ah.
But I have this thing about cheap clothing, and I can't afford really like super, super nice clothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a thing about cheap clothes, fast fashion and all that. And I remember where I just had sort of a paradigm shift, and it was because an older woman encouraged me. She was, she's from Texas, and she is a businesswoman. And it was back in the day where I used to go to Target for a quick fix, like, you know, sort of like the way I maybe go thrifting now. Like, I need something just to make me, I want to bring home a little knickknack for the table or something like I do now. I need an old book or a little oil painting, something to inspire me. Well, I used to do that by going to Target for clothing. And I would always try to find whatever looked the nicest, because my style has been very consistent throughout the years as far as tailored with vintage influence. I always tried to find those pieces, and my friends would say, where did you get that? I'd say, I got it at Target. They're like, no way. But the quality was so bad. And she just, I had a really blunt conversation with me. Like, I don't know what even gave her the bravado to do that. I don't even remember the context in which she said it, but she's like, basically, she said, you need to close the door on that chapter. Like, that
we're moving on.
Like, you need to move on. You know, this was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, it's time to be a grown up now, and you need to move on. And there's better ways to get your hands on affordable clothing that is not made by a child in Cambodia or wherever, you know. It was really interesting because she was so strict and firm about it. And I don't understand why. I don't remember where it came from, but I just went, I received it. I went, okay.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Then I will take your older woman sage advice. I don't know where it's coming from or why, but we're done here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That brings up a lot of points. So I want to talk about the bite of cheap clothing. And then I want to talk about, so I don't forget, I'm doing this so we don't forget. I want to talk about then, where do you go? If I only have this amount of money to spend on clothes, then what do I do? If you're saying no bueno to Target. Okay. Mm-hmm. First off, we talked a couple episodes ago about how everything has a bite. Okay. The perception of cheap is just a perception.
Just that.
Okay.
It's just that.
It's the same thing like cheap food. You pay now, you pay later. And the only reason it's cheap in the first place is because the government is subsidizing the growing of wheat and corn and soy. So it's a straw man. Cheap food doesn't really exist. Okay. Everything pays a price. And I think the same is true for clothing, because when we talk about growing cotton, let's say for clothing, if we're trying to do that as cheaply as possible, inevitably in agriculture, that means the land is going to pay the price for it. Okay. We're going to overexploit it. We're going to maximize harvest. We're going to do whatever we have to do. We're going to grow really bad quality, whatever we can do to keep that as low as possible. And then, and I don't mean to make light of this, but the reality is these clothes are being made in factories under God knows what conditions.
Yeah.
And I won't pretend like I know a lot about that because I don't. But I do know that there is a resource, that there is a reason that we outsource labor like that. Mm-hmm. And it's for money. Follow the money, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. So when you see a dress that's $14.99, that's brand new, you can look at the tag. It's really not hard that hard to sort of decipher where these things come from. And I think that's something I've grown more and more convicted about the more that I do learn about it, because we vote with our dollars. And I don't mean this in any kind of a holier than thou way by any means. I just mean, like, as I grow as a person, I want to continually grow. I want to make better decisions. I want to think about things more. I want the way I spend my dollars to be the best way that I can personally. So if I have a limited budget, which we all do for the most part for wardrobe, you know, we have a set amount that we set aside each month for the family's clothes and shoes and socks and underwear. Where do I go then? If you're going to close the Target door and say, you know what, we're going to try to break up with this fast food clothing culture. Where would you go?
Well, I think then you start first by looking at your closet and seeing what your needs are. And, you know, this is a little bit of a weird time to be having this conversation, I guess, because so many people, their needs are really different right now than they typically are. So you'd have to decide if you're going to be thinking of, am I going to be quarantined for another 60 days, or am I going to start talking about, you know, assimilating back into the workplace or going on with my normal life? So I would look at what you have and what you need, you know, and then you kind of are going to come around to what kind of a style am I wanting to project? What kind of a style do I have? And starting like with those foundational points before deciding where to go. But I do think that the higher quality clothing, the, you know, great places to find it is secondhand, because those garments are constructed to last a lot longer than a Target piece of clothing. So why not go on, you know, what are they called? ThredUp or
Poshmark.
What's the other one? Poshmark.
Yeah.
And get a blouse that was $280 and is now $35 or something, which even might still be a higher price tag for some people, but it's going to last for so much longer.
I went to an antique store back when you could do that. And there was this great 3-piece ensemble. It was really high-waisted pants. And then there was a pencil skirt that matched. And then there was a blazer jacket that matched. And it was all this green tweed. And it had one of those little tags sewn into it that was like made by, you know, such and such. Somebody back in the 60s had just sewn this suit out of tweed fabric. And here it is 60 years later. It's in great condition. I still wear it to church all the time. Yeah. It's fabulous. And it was like this $20 3-piece suit that I could wear 8 different ways because there's 3 different pieces. So sometimes it's the pants with just a nice white t-shirt, you know, sometimes it's the jacket with jeans. Sometimes it's the pencil skirt with a white blouse. It's so fun, but you kind of have to be willing to work a little bit to find it.
Yeah.
You know, but somewhere I would go to, and I've had great luck with this in the past, there are really incredible seamstresses on Etsy. That's where I've had the most luck finding them, where you can go on and you can browse patterns or styles that you like, and then you order them and you send them your actual measurements, and they actually sew the clothes to your measurements. And this is a little bit more expensive. So I bought one dress about 4 or 5 years ago from this great company. I'll make sure to tag it so you can check it out in the show notes. I can't think of the name of it right now. But it was a woman who ran this seamstress shop. I believe she was based out of Korea somewhere. And she just sewed stuff herself, you know, so it takes like 2 months to get it because she just does it all by herself. But she gets a really good pay for her work. And, you know, she's able to set her prices. She's able to set her hours. And this dress, every time I wear it, people ask about it because it's lined. You know, there's no tags. It's not, it's made for me. I just sent her my measurements. I want this style in this color. And it's all wool. It's really beautiful. And that has held up for 5 years. And it looks like it's never been worn.
Is it the green
one? It's the
one?
Green
Which
one.
Is it?
It's the green
one. It's the
one.
Green one. Okay. Yeah.
It's darted and fitted and just truly beautiful. And I would rather have three of those than five dozen dresses, cheap dresses to choose from.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now. And that might not be where everybody is at, but I've done, I've done the, like, I want a massive closet with all the selections and all the stuff. And I need seven of this. And now I'm just at this place where I'm like, maybe it's the noise we talked about, like quieting the noise. Even your closet can be full of noise, right? It can point to things that you don't want to point to. Like you mentioned, the last time I went to Target to buy a piece of clothing, it was like this weird, I don't even know why I got it. It was like mid-thigh, black, three-quarter sleeve with like pink flowers on it and these 80s puffy sleeves. I don't know what happened. I don't know why I did that. Do you remember this? And I sent you a picture and you're like, no. And I'm like, I know it. And I still bought it. What was I thinking? It was a waste. And you know what? It wasn't that cheap. It was like $39.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I could have spent $100 and had a dress that I would wear for the next 20 years, so long as I can still fit in it. I mean, it really is kind of this fake parameter that we put on it in our minds.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is. There's a lot of paradigm shifts that can happen and a lot of just coming to terms with better, not more, like you and I say all the time. And, you know, when you're looking at something that does cost $14.99, nothing costs $14.99. Okay. That is not a reality. Nothing costs $14.99. Like, would you sit with a sewing machine for a day and a half and make that for $14.99? You know, like, there's a whole backstory there that is probably no bueno. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the clothing on Etsy is going to be, I think that's a great place, like you're saying, to support somebody that's doing work. It is going to be a little bit more. And so maybe it's, this is not an instant fix. Maybe you're saving for a couple new dresses.
Right.
And then just wear the snot out of them. And, you know, we were kind of having fun at the beginning of this conversation talking about quote unquote costumes, but, that's a great place to get them. Cause if you do want to like have some fun with your more romantic side and you start looking on Amazon and stuff, that's a whole lot of, cheap clothing right there. You know, who knows how that stuff's being made and where.
I found a great lady on Etsy who sews Civil War dresses, costumes, but she sews them in her house. She gets the material. Mm-hmm. She makes the top out of linens, just a very light, you know, kind of little puffy sleeve sort of a thing. And then a long skirt. It's very simple, but she sells them for like $60, you know,
That's
for a handmade.
Yeah.
Sort of custom thing that you can get tailored to however you'd like it. But you know, the other interesting thing, like you said, nothing's $14.99 because it's $14.99. You go to Target every 3 or 4 weeks and you're like, okay, well, it's cheap. So I can get two dresses here or I can get 10 t-shirts or whatever it may be. I don't think we're actually saving that much money.
No, not when you know how the average like homemaker like loads her garbage. Exactly. Garbage she doesn't need at Target.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So I think we if you were to actually track it, and this is, I'm totally making up this. I don't actually know. But I would guess that I spend just as much on clothing now as I did when I was buying clothes at Target. And then I wouldn't wear them. I wouldn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
It's hypothetical, I'm guessing. I'm guessing that's about right.
It's probably pretty true. I mean, think about it. If you go and grab, you know, five or six things, even if they're on clearance, I mean, because I'm as frugal as the day is long, it still adds up. You still get to the checkout and you're like, wait, what?
I know.
It's how much? $84?
I know.
I only had a couple things.
I know. Yeah. Target's one of those places where you come home and you've got like six bags and you unload everything and you're like, okay, that was $300. And what did I get?
I have to tell you, I have not shopped there. I've shopped there twice.
Do you even have
like
a
in
Target?
The last 8 years?
Where are you?
We have one about 40 minutes away.
Okay.
I have shopped there twice in the last like 8 years, literally in two emergency situations. I did buy my boys two little blazers on the way to a piano recital or something. We were driving out of town and I just needed something. Mm-hmm. And we were on our way to vacation, I think. And one of the children still didn't have shoes because they weren't arriving in time for Amazon. Mm. But because of that whole just mass consumption, just garbage, mm-hmm. you know, oh, I need a new magnet calendar. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just all the crap you end up filling your car. I just stopped going.
Yeah.
It was just a personal decision. Yeah. I just needed to.
If this quarantine has been good for something, mm-hmm. it's that people aren't, you know, I think people's budgets are probably feeling a little bit of wiggle room now because you're not going out to eat. You're not having drinks. You're, you know, and even if you splurge on buying good wine or even if you're splurging on stuff from Amazon, you're still cutting, you're trimming a lot of fat just by not filling it with excess, mm-hmm. you know, that you just don't need.
Yeah, I've noticed there's more, for me, there's more research involved in my purchases. Mm-hmm. The items sit in my cart for a while longer while I stew on them and think on them. And, you know, and then you know what happens to me. It sells out overnight.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a downside to that.
Yeah. Why? I have a personal challenge to myself to clean through my closet. I'm going to throw away any socks that have holes, underwear that have stains, things that just are no good. And we'll donate them and we'll move on to a new phase. And I don't donate
your stained
like,
underwear.
I'm not going to donate. They're not my stained underwear. Women don't do that. Hello, I am a lady. But I did for Mother's Day. I got a new dress from a seamstress in the Ukraine. And so I'm taking my measurements today and I'm very much looking forward to that. It won't be here for a while, but mm-hmm. I thought it was a very sweet gift because I'm ready to be there, you know? And here's the other thing. You think that people care when you wear the same clothing over again. They don't. They don't care. Like my friend Natalie has this beautiful dress. It's purple with these cream polka dots. And I would say she probably wears it to church every 3 or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. It's so flattering to her. I love it. Every time she wears it, I'm like, she's wearing the great dress. I don't think, oh, man, she should really expand her repertoire. You know, like nobody mm-hmm. cares. Nobody cares how often you wear stuff.
I think that's kind of, I think that's, without sounding cliche, I think that's like an American thing. Just more, where, you know, our French sisters will buy a very high quality white blouse and they'll buy one and they'll wear it 3 times a week and they'll buy a beautiful high quality pair of trousers and they'll wear them 3 times a week. And
the less,
that's what
less
they
is
do.
More.
They have less space. So they're more practical about their selections and they're probably exposed to better quality clothing mm-hmm. than we are and, you know, easily accessible, I should say.
I follow this really great tailor on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of those, like, I follow this guy and he's friends with this guy. Him and his wife have this little boutique Italian clothing company. And I told Stu, someday in my life, I'm going to own a piece of clothing from this place. It is so primo. I looked it up and I'm like, I'm going to get this dress. No, I'm not. I don't think
I'm going to get a car.
I don't think I will ever be wearing a piece of clothing from there. It's there for the people who need it. That is not ever mm-hmm. where I will be. But I think you're right. Just being exposed to it, to even know that this is there and, you know, that there are pockets where you can find good priced points. And isn't it true that we fill whatever space we have? So if you move into a newer house, they've got big closets. Mm-hmm. People want big closets. and you just end up filling it. That's not what you need. It's just a luxury, you know. It's
yeah.
But I think yeah, I think there could be some benefits to a smaller closet with better things. You know, I think ultimately that would quiet our even our options. Like if I've got five good dresses, well, that means I've got only five decisions to make. You know,
seriously,
I'm serious. My brain is fried. Brain is fired. Yeah. So that's a bit kind of like on where I'm headed with this quarantine fashion. It's made me realize I need to not okay. dress for people. I also need to dress for myself and my work here because this is mm-hmm. the most important thing. So I'm thinking a lot about that. What about quarantine makeup?
I don't know. I've actually been just doing my skincare. I don't think I've worn makeup in the last week.
Really?
And yeah, it's okay. I'm so busy. It's just, and it's so windy and horrible and my eyes are watering, you know, mm-hmm. it's just, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like extra moisturizer, extra yummy, mm-hmm. got my hair wrapped up so it doesn't blow around in the wind mm-hmm. and, not a lot of makeup right mm-hmm. now. If any, I will tell you this though. I did buy some new makeup and I switched to cream. What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm listening to your story. Oh. I'm on pins and needles listening to your story.
You're like,
go. Tell me.
I switched to cream, blush, cream bronzer, mm-hmm. cream contour, like anything that was powdered. I switched to cream mm. and I love it. Like, love. First of all, for some reason, it's much faster for me. So I put my foundation on, then I take a little cream brush and like pat it onto my cheeks and just rub it in a little bit. And I'm feeling like it has sort of like a from the inside out look. Mm,
yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. That's, I'm really, really am enjoying it. And I never thought I would do that. I never thought I would, you know, you kind of just make assumptions about yourself. Well, I'm not a cream blush person. Mm-hmm. I never gave it a thought. And I saw some a few weeks ago and I just thought, well, I want to try that. I want to just try something new. And I can't tell you how much I love
it. Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my makeup. Like if I am doing my makeup, I'm doing a little foundation, which I'm mixing with moisturizer just because it is so harsh out there right now, and some blush and mascara. And I did get a new eyebrow pomade because that's extremely important. Mm-hmm.
Eyebrows are important, ladies.
They are
important. I saw a video of myself. Somebody had sent it to me on Instagram where I had my full, like I had just gotten my lashes done, full on lash extensions. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how like just prominent they were. I didn't realize mm-hmm. at the time because I'd gotten so used to them. But mm-hmm. this quarantine, obviously the lash extensions went away. And all I'm left with now is, you know, I do a little crimp and then one coat of mascara. And I'm like you, I've been wearing very minimal makeup. Mm-hmm. And so like no eyeliner, no eyeshadow even. And part of that is just because there hasn't really been a reason to.
Yeah.
I like to have some special makeup. I like to have some secret weapons to pull out when I'm really trying to mm-hmm. like make the husband hot, you know, like, oh, we're going to go out for drinks. All right. I'm going to do a smoky eye. Like if I wore a smoky eye every day, there's nothing left to pull out. That's my bag of tricks.
Right. Right.
But I'm actually really enjoying the look of it. And it almost kind of points back to what we were talking about earlier of dressing a certain way. I don't know. There's something about it that makes the makeup want to match a little bit.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Like because we're home, I feel like I'm just in this really natural vibe. So I'm putting on my jeans, you know, I'm very farmy right now
yeah,
because of everything that has to be right. done. So I'm putting on my jeans. I wear my boots all the time, a blouse, mm-hmm. a big hat. Mm-hmm. The last week I haven't worn makeup, but I have been wearing just a little bit, like I was saying, just the foundation and the blush and just a very
simple, romantic,
soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, I still want to look nice, but there's just so much to get done. I'm not.
Well, you can still look nice. Mm-hmm. You can still look nice even if you're doing that. You can still look. It's really simple and pared back. And, you know, I love that word romantic because that's kind of been my posture as of late. And I'm not quite sure where it's coming from, but I'm like, like you said,
I know where it's coming from.
I want
from.
All the warm fuzzies. I want the beeswax candles lit. I want good music on. I want windows open and flowers out. I want, you know, clean faces and full tummies, and I want the pressed linen closet. I want like the organized, like I just finding, it's like finding this renewed joy in the home of just here we are. Yeah. We're here. How can this be just beautiful and lovely and enjoyable? And it might seem silly, but some of that comes back to how we dress, how we prepare ourselves. You know, like if you've ever tried to go about your day without brushing your teeth, and then like at 10 in the morning, you're like, God, I'm just so angry. Like, why do I feel this
it's
way?
It's like, it's the first thing I do in the morning. I pee and I brush my teeth even before I have a cup of coffee. I don't care. This has got to get sorted.
You know, we're finite creatures. What can we say? Very affected by such things as skirts and teeth brushing.
This conversation is amusing me because we started talking about costumes. And then we went into closet organization or purging. Yeah. And I feel like this conversation really reflects what's happening because everybody is in this state of like, I don't know how to feel. Like I got all these feelings. I don't know if I'm coming or going.
I know.
Well, I'm staying.
I know. But you don't know if it's because of the quarantine that you're like looking at Civil War dresses and you're like, I could probably wear that every day.
Yeah, I know. Is that like, what's happening here? Like, I'm listening to a lot of Outlander and I'm stuck home and I'm like,
I might as well dress
feed
like
my
that.
Family.
Yeah.
So I might need a long skirt and a hoop.
Yep.
What is that? I might need a petticoat, you know? Like,
it's maybe that's it's what's for happening the social here. Distancing. So no one can come within 3 feet of either side of you because of your giant hoop skirt.
That's a great thing. Oh. The bigger the hoop, that's what we need. Yeah. Some serious hoops.
Well, I think I'm going to, I think I'm going to do that's it. What I'm it just going to try it. I'm just going to try it.
Just do it.
I think I'm going
and
to.
Even if it.
I'm going to go order one from Etsy. And, I'm going to do it and I will report back about how this goes down. We'll see.
I'm curious to see how you end up with the shoes.
I'm going to have
shoes ruin the outfit. You know, Shay, I tell you that
I'll just go barefoot. How romantic. Ew. I'll just be barefoot.
Gross.
You're gross. Ladies and Frank, please make sure to visit us over on Instagram at Homemaker Chic Podcast. I am going to post skirt updates once I have one, a long one. I'm gonna do it.
I always wanted to do this thing online, like on Instagram, called Ultra Feminine Friday. And I wanted to have one day a week where I went all cray cray.
Why don't we do that?
But with the long skirts and just a channeling mic, because I have stuff. I have, you know, we've had Laura Ingalls birthday parties here, and you put it on and you just feel so freaking feminine.
Okay.
And that's
we're
going to
turn that into a thing.
Ultra Feminine
this
Friday.
Is going to air on Thursday.
All right. It's a thing.
The next day, I want you to tag us. Hashtag Ultra Feminine Friday. I'm sure some people are going to absolutely hate this idea. I love it. So make sure to tag us at Homemaker Chic Podcast over on Instagram so that we can share your ultra feminine looks. And make sure you head on over to jovialfoods.com. They are stocked with flour for you as of today. And show some love to our sponsor. We love them so, so much. And of course, a massive thank you to our patrons over on Patreon, patreon.com/homemakerschicpodcast. This is where you have shown us so much love in our podcast, and we get to show you love by giving you copies of our cookbooks for $5 or $10 a month. And we're getting ready to gear up next week to do our live Zoom call for the month. So that's going to be fun. Make sure you check that out for that conversation that's going on over there. It's great.
And just like there is no real fast fashion, in theory, there are no fast linens. Someone's paying the price somewhere. And so we encourage you to head over to AmericanBlossomLinens.com and use the code HOMEMAKERCHIC to get your new bedding.
HOMEMAKERCHIC 20.
20% off.
This is why it takes
two. We forgot to talk about what we're sipping today.
Oh.
So I'm not sipping anything.
Well,
but I am looking forward to making a delicious.
I have a bottle next to me right now.
Show me.
A chilled bottle. I just haven't opened it yet. Terra Minuta Valentina Passalacqua. That's Italian, wow. Angela.
You're getting all really you uncultured good, Shay.
Swine. 20% Greco Bianco, 80% Fino. I'm gonna go give a little review of this over on our Instagram.
Okay.
Once I open it.
Well, it's from Dry Farm Wines, and you can check them out at Dry Farm Wines in the show notes.
Yes.
Actually, we have our link.
Yes.
So you can sip what Homemaker Chic is sipping.
Yes. I've actually had this wine before. I'm really looking forward to opening this bottle. It tastes like, I told Stu, it tastes like a drunken day at the beach. That's what it tastes like to me. It's like, it's really kind of strong, but like sunshine. Uh-huh. It's like citrus sunshine. So it reminds me of like a bottle of white wine that you had sitting out in the sun for a while, you know, while you were in the ocean. And anyway, and it makes sense because it's from the coast. And so
hold it up again.
It's pretty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It really is like the brightest wine. It's like a smile. Now okay, I'm thirsty.
I don't know what I'm doing here. I have to go finish planting my onions. Am I putting on a dress to do it?
Can I just go back out in
my pajamas and finish?
Yeah, you're sure. You go ahead. I'm going to wear my high-waisted jeans today. I'm feeling the need for it. I'm going to do it. Yeah, baby.
I love those jeans.
I need to post them over on Instagram. Somebody asked me about that. I'll make sure to go post them over there.
Yeah, you should.
I'll do this. All right.
Okay.
Thanks for joining in, ladies. We loved having this conversation with you. We'll chat soon. Cheers.
Cheers.